She's on a trip, a whirlwind of a trip. So she's somewhere in Tennessee. She said, Phil, I got two standing ovations. I said, Miss Kay, you turned into somewhat of an evangelistic type woman. Now she's, they took off from Tennessee and they're flying to New York City. And as shocking as it sounds, New York, they have now, and they'll have the first viewing today, this afternoon, Miss Kay and Willie and Corey and some of them. But they actually made a Broadway play on the Duck Commander story. You know, the little chicks with the skinny little, you know, there? And the singers. It's a Broadway play. I've never seen one. But that literally, you know, and if it's a hit, it'll go to all the major cities in America. So they're up there to view that, to see what it's like. Most of these Broadway plays are about people who are deceased. They've already died. But in this case, the people came down the river and they told us, they said, in this case, we just wanted to meet the people that the story was about. It is a very spiritual, it's the Duck Commander story, so it's a very spiritual Broadway play. And it includes everything, the little bit of friction we get into from time to time. That's all in there, so that ought to be interesting. Now, before I start, I will say that I'm driving yesterday, and we go the back way to 165. You go the back way through Luna, through the woods, on the Lock and Dam Road. You turn on Highway 4. You come in the backside of Columbia. You turn right. You bypass Columbia, and you come out at Grayson. So I'm tooling along there, was fixing to work on the duck hole. So when I get to 165, I stop, I turn, and I'm on 165 heading toward Ala. Well, I look in my rearview mirror. I said, Miles, what did I do? He said, I don't know. It didn't seem like he did anything. So the guy pulls up beside me, you know, and pull her over. So I pull over. He gets out and walks up there. I said, Officer, what did I do wrong? He said, 51 and a 35. He said, however, if you will get behind this squad car and follow me to City Hall and take some pictures. I said, if you will give me a police escort, we will do that. So he just, and I get behind him, and there we go to City Hall. I'm standing there. We're all gathered up and they're taking pictures. And you say, well, I can't believe, look, he just made me a deal I couldn't refuse. But I said, why didn't you tell him you wouldn't take any pictures? I said, and pay $200? Personally, I don't think I was going 51 and a 35. I think he just, when I drove by, he said, that's that old dude. And I think that's what that was about. Better their friend than their enemy. We are in a great text. What we are discussing, we've been discussing it for about 2 or 3 weeks. We are discussing the faith. Now, for you who are visiting, you say, the faith. We're discussing the faith. A lot is written about the faith. Most of the time, we don't bring up those particular texts that calls God's people, the church, the kingdom. We're just called simply the faith. Multiple times, I know that it can be abandoned. You say, can you lose your salvation and abandon the faith? Yes. When some turbulent times are going to come to God's people, while Jesus was on the earth. Matthew 24, he left the temple and walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings, because it was a mighty structure. Jesus said, "Do you see all these things?" He said, "I'll tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. There's some violent times coming, and all of what you see right there, guys," and this thing was, I mean, a bull of a building. He said, "It's all coming down." We're talking 30 to 33 AD. By 70, when 70 came, it all came down just like he said. Now watch this. So you say there were some violent times in there around 70 AD. Yeah. Now you fast forward 2,000 years, we might have a few violent times coming around here if we're not careful. What do you think? So we have violent times. Watch what he says. He was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him and said, "Tell us, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" They're a little confused. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I'm the Christ, and will deceive many." A lot of false prophets were running around 2,000 years ago. You reckon we have any running around here today? Possible. Let's see. "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things will happen, but the end is still to come." Here's the way it's going to be back there before the destruction of Jerusalem. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, earthquakes, and all these things are beginning the birth pains. You'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. How many of them came out of there alive? All of them were slaughtered for the faith. For the faith. You will be hated by all nations because of me. They'll all hate your guts. Anything changed much from then to now? Just get out there in the public and quote a few Bible verses and watch how they treat you. "At that time, many will turn away from the faith." I said, you can be a part of the faith and you can lose it. These people did. So if someone tells you, once you're saved, you're always saved. Not according to this text, right? "They will betray and hate each other," God's people. You say, how can it be? Be careful as a member of the faith if you talk down to your brother and sister, and if you dislike one of your brothers or sister, be careful. "Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." The American model of Christianity is one splintered, divided, theological, just a mess. And we never laid a glove on our culture. Just from observation. You say, what happened to America? The American model of Christianity has not done well with our culture. You agree? We're in a real big mess here. "Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold." He's talking a 40-year time frame. "He who stands firm to the end to be saved, the gospel of the kingdom be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations." You say, how long did it take them to get it done? About 40 years. From the time Jesus ascended back into heaven after he died for the sins of the world, was buried and raised from the dead, 40 years goes by. The Apostle Paul writing to the Colossians, every last one of them heard the gospel. They all heard it. At one time, all of humanity knew that Jesus died, was buried, and raised from the dead. They were told that. However, Most of them said, and to this day, most of them are still saying, the human race. Right? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The end of what? The end of the Jewish nation. Now you look over at verse 34 before you start saying this is where it's going to be in the future some point or another. Verse 34, I tell you the truth, he ended this up. This generation will certainly not pass away. It's going to happen in your generation. So he's talking 40-year time frame until all these things have happened. He wasn't talking about 2,000 years later or later. He was talking about this is all going to happen in about 35, 40 years. And it did happen, just like he said it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. That's that. Now, Jesus dies on a cross after he said those words. He was buried in a tomb and raised from the dead. Matthew recorded, Mark recorded, Luke recorded, and John recorded. You say, how come you want to be so redundant about God becoming flesh, dying on a cross, being buried in a tomb, and raised from the dead? So nobody can miss it. I'm going to repeat this four times. I'm going to write each book so nobody can miss this. The guy was converted the other day here, and he said, I've been a religious person for 45 or 50 years. I never heard that. He said, I never understood that till right now. I was 28, and I said, how'd I miss that? Oh, you can miss it. To show you about the faith, this is cool. Jesus leaves bodily. They're watching him go. There's an arrow coming down out of heaven, God becoming flesh. There's a cross. God in flesh died on that cross. There's a tomb. He was put in it. There's an arrow coming out of it. He came out, stayed 40 days to convince them he was alive, and he left. We're down to the last arrow. You see how they're going? How much more is going to happen? One more arrow. He'll come back the same way you've seen him go. Well, all the other predictions about him came true. Why would this one not come true? See, I'm just looked at all the other things that the Bible said predicted would happen before it happened. Well, it did happen. All the promises have been fulfilled. There's not going to be any more Jesuses. There's not going to be any more God becoming flesh and paying for the sins of the world. He's already done all that. You say, there's just one more arrow left. That's what I'm trying to get all of you to see. Now, I left off a while ago, last time, where it said, test yourself to see whether you're in, listen, the faith or not. You say, why would you bring that up? Because some of us, we come to the faith, and the author and perfecter of it, Jesus, who paid for our sins and will guarantee us we'll be raised from the dead, and we run around, we're still shacked up. We said, boy, that is what, all my sins forgiven? Yeah, including your being shacked up right now. She's not your wife. You're being immoral. Repent and be baptized. You said, well, repent, so what do I do first? Go to the courthouse and sign the dotted line. Then come back and we'll immerse you. You can't stay shacked up. He died for that. But some of us sitting around here like, you say, can you blow it? You can blow it. Just do that. You'll blow it. But our culture says, you don't have to do that. You don't have to marry. You stay. You don't. So you get to Acts chapter 14. I like this one because what's the way this reads? It brings it all under one concise explanation. Jesus leaves, and all the disciples took out before they killed them all, and they started preaching the same gospel that I preached 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years later, you say you're still preaching the same thing they preach. Same gospel field, same gospel. Same response field, same response. Well, what do we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins. God will give you the Spirit. What they say now is, a lot of people, well, repent, but you don't have to be baptized for the remission of your sins to receive God's Spirit. I'm like, do what? Yeah, repent, but you don't have to be baptized for the remission of your sins to get God's Spirit. I'm saying, wait a minute. They asked what to do. He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then God will give you the Spirit. You're like, yeah, I know it says that, but you don't have to do that. I'm thinking, are you nuts? I know Peter told them to repent and be baptized. Well, these people went forth in the book of Acts, and it's the same message and the same response. They hear the gospel. We believe it. Their faith saves them. They say, what do? They take them to the creek, take them to the pothole, take them to the river. Someone says, you think that's what you should do? I'm like, yeah. They preached the gospel in that city, Acts 14:21, and won a large number of disciples. You say, is it going on 2,000 years later? Oh, is it ever? Hundreds. These things, you won't, well. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples, listen, and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Well, 2,000 years later, you say, Bill, what are you doing here today? I'm encouraging the disciples to remain true to the faith. So don't lose it. You can blow it. You can abandon it. You're going to end up hating each other. Oh, no, it wouldn't happen to me. Repent and be baptized. Well, I've been trying to get around. I'm a man, and I've been seeing this guy, and, you know, I know it's not right. Jesus died for that. It took the blood of God to remove that. Come on, dude. Repent. Stay in the faith. We must go through first, it's the faith. Remain true to the faith. Watch this. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. The road sometimes gets a little rocky. I've got remain true to the faith and enter the kingdom of God, but go through some terrible times. I got the faith and the kingdom in one breath and the next breath. You say, are we waiting on the kingdom to get here? Are you nuts? The kingdom is here. I'm speaking to it. Our King, the Jesus, the great God of the heavens, has come down in flesh. A beautiful thing is, our Savior, our God, is our mediator, but he's also one of us. Moses, when the law was given, he was a sinful man. He was a mediator of sorts, but he could never do what the Son of God, Jesus, could do. You know why? Because he had sins himself when the law was given, a law of works. You say, but when Jesus came down to represent us, not only did he become a perfect human, he was already a perfect God. That's why he and he alone is the only one qualified to be our mediator, to make sure our sins are not counted against us. You say, too big a job for Moses. The Apostle Paul alludes to that at Galatians 3, which we're getting to by and by. You say, it's a wonderful thing. I have the faith and the kingdom being mentioned in the same breath. You say the kingdom's been here ever since the king came down and established it. Yep. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church. I have the faith and many hardships to enter the kingdom, and the church in two verses. We those things are at my hear of my voice. I'm talking to members of the faith. Jesus and the author and perfecter of it. Jesus, the sustainer of it. You say, it's his kingdom. Yeah. God's kingdom is here. Yep. Or y'all, if you're visiting, you'll say, what kind of denomination are y'all? No denomination. This is a self-contained unit of the kingdom of God on this earth. You say, are there elders among you like there were in that verse I just read? I'm one of them. You say, boy, y'all got some raggedy looking dudes up here. It's amazing how God works. Where are your long robes, Mr. Bishop, Mr. Pastor, Mr. Elder? Where are your long robes? Do you really think that's needed? Where's your tall hat, Mr. Elder? Do you really think that's needed? Where's your text about the dress code? We're just men and sinful ones at that. We're just here to oversee, to watch over you, to tell you that's not right. Don't do that. You're doing a great job. Keep that up. Get out of that funky relationship you're in. Don't do that. That's what we're here for. We're trying to help you. We love you. There is leadership here. But there is no clergy, laity. That's all man-made stuff. We're your brothers. We've been down more roads than some of you. You say, the old gray hair, what's left of it? You say, that's there for advice and counsel. You say, did they have it in the first century? I just read you a text that covered that. With prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Antioch. So they were committed to the grace of God and the work that was at hand. Last week, I talked about Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. I'll do this quickly. So much rich material in so little time. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance. You say, what is the faith all about? I said when we had our intro 3 weeks ago, I said it's like a race. It's regarded as a race and characterized as a race multiple times. It's like a race to the finish line. What everyone needs to understand is you say, it's not a stagnant, it's on the move. There's movement involved in the faith. Here he said, let us with perseverance, run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. He's right back to what I just mentioned. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. At some point, we have to go beyond the idea of going to church. We just have to get beyond that. This is rest. This is refuel. This is great. This is wonderful to hear our singing and praises to God, our demonstration of our solidarity, our love for one another. I love it. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad you're here. You say, The battle is out there. The battle is beyond this hall, this roof. You don't believe it? Well, get out there and get you some of it. You'll believe it pretty quick. You say, this is a place to go. It is nice to be here. I love it. There's no in here. We're all like, hey, it's nice. Recoup, rest, and then go back out. In your struggle against sin, you've not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Look, and we're encouraged. Now, 2 Corinthians 13:5 is where I left off last week. Now, there's a fair number of visitors. There's a fair number of, I don't know who the visitors are. How would you know? You say, I'm visiting here. What do I need to know? The 2014 years ago, give or take a year or two, God became flesh, died on a cross, buried in a tomb, raised from the dead. Sins removed, guaranteed you be raised from the dead, given God's Spirit to mark you as a child of the resurrection. You got a better story, I always tell them, lay it on me. So you're visiting, you say, so that'd be the gospel that saves me. It's free of charge. It's by God's grace we're saved. What I have to do, Phil, believe it and repent and go back there and do what Peter said. We'll bury the old you. You'll break the connection with Adam, from whom you got the ability to know right and wrong, good and evil. You got old enough, you say, I found out about evil. And unfortunately, you, along with every last one of them, you all sinned. It can be taken care of through your faith. When you die to sin, you are buried. The old you stays and the new one comes forth. Sealed with God's Spirit, then you'll be a member of the faith, the kingdom of God, Christ's body on the earth. You say, is that it? That's it. Any rules and regulations? Love God and love your neighbor. You're like, surely there's more rules than that. That's the rule. Love God and love your neighbor. You're like, free of charge? Free of charge. Sure, if you're here, you say, I believe I'll take some of that. Well, when I get done here, come on down here. Walk right here. We'll bury you, the old you, and the new one to come forth. Then what you'll have to do from time to time, you will have to remember this. Examine yourself. Examine myself. I use the shacked up thing because it seems to be rather prevalent in our culture. Well, they want to bring that over inside the faith and stay there. Keep on with that. You need a close self-examination of yourself if that's what you're up to. Yeah, I know I ought to marry you, but you know, I mean, first thing I know, if I sign that dotted line, I'm responsible for what happens, and I could lose a lot if I decide to check it to her. She could come back, haunt me, start getting in that back pocket a little bit. I think I'll just take the milk, but I don't want to buy the cow. It's the oldest trick in the book. He said, what do you call that? Sorry and low down. It's this politically correct junk that says, well, you know, I've had to do this legally before God and man. Yeah, you do. You examine yourself. You say, well, if I find that I'm living in an immoral relationship with anybody or anything, if I see that about myself, I'm claiming Jesus, I come up here and sit down and go to church. You fail the test, the examination test. We don't have to condemn you. You're self-condemned. Well, I'm slipping around getting drunk, you know. Are you waiting on somebody like me to say, what are you doing? Dude, ma'am, sister, examine yourself. You know better than that. This thing about, I don't know, I didn't know that was wrong. every last human being on planet Earth, because God put us under natural law and gave us a conscience, unless it is so seared over with a hot iron. We all know what right and wrong is. We all know what sin is. The guy in the interview with ABC, he said, why do people attack you? Because people holler in churches and preachers get up and preach, but they don't say anything about them. Why do they attack you, Mr. Robertson? I said, Ryan, when's the last time you mentioned the word sin on any of your newscasts or anyone else with ABC News or any of the rest of them? When's the last time you heard anyone say anything about sin or repentance of that sin? He said, I've never even mentioned it. I said, how long have you been with ABC? 20 years. And I said, with all the mischief and the mayhem and the robbery and the murder and the kidnappings, and you've never once said, you know, America seems to be pretty sinful. Not once. You ever heard anybody talk about sin on any newscast? I haven't. It's almost like it doesn't exist. So I said, the answer to your question is, maybe that's why they get after me. I actually tell them they're sinners and they need to repent of it and live. I love them. But what are you going to do? Walk up there and say, well, hey, dude, it's your life. You know, do what you want to. That's the American way. That's what our culture says. Hey, do anything you want to. It ain't none of my business. Go ahead if you want to live like that. They don't love each other. If you love somebody, you try to help them change and get out of that trap that they're in. Right, CR? Try to help them. It's the easy road to say, hey, it's your life. It's none of my business. Go ahead and do what you want to. That's America, political correct. One of the saddest things I've ever seen, and the whole thing is imploding. Everyone's wringing their hands, and nobody will say, I think the devil is real, and I think sin is a problem. Y'all agree? Who's going to say it? Members of the faith will say it. I'm down to the last. I don't know why, but it seems so short. My man there said he means 5 minutes. Is Cassandra Green in the house? Cassandra, you here? Cassandra Green, are you here? Not yet. When she gets here, the elders are going to pray for Cassandra because she has a physical malady, an ailment that I'm not even quite sure what it is. And the doctors are not doing much, so we're going to anoint her with oil and pray for her when she gets here. I love all of y'all. Mr. Alabama here is going to offer a prayer, especially for some of you who have visited and said, I want to become a member of the faith. You can do so here today. There's people here who will help you respond. So Alabama, come off our prayer for everyone involved, especially Cassandra. And if you're visiting, listen what the guy from Alabama says.
Good job by Mr. Phil, as always. Guys, just like he said, if y'all are visiting, and we get visitors from all over the world, just a few weeks back, we had some from Bulgaria. Seriously, so we're glad that all you visitors are here. We want you to stick around, because we got Mike Kellett and Trent Langhofer. They're going to come up here for the 10:30 service, or what I like to call big church. So stick around. If you're members, find a visitor, shake hands, kiss babies, hug necks, whatever you want to do. Just make them feel welcome, because we sure are glad they're here. I'm going to offer up a prayer, and then you guys can hang around. Like I said, big church starts at 10:30. Mingle, get to know each other, and let's go before the Lord and thank Him for this day. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Mr. Phil and all the rest of us here who have such a zeal that that they want to preach your word, and also for giving them a platform of literally millions. God, thank you so much. The glory is to you and to you only, God, for making that possible. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for all the visitors that are here today. And we pray, God, that the members here, we do the best job we can to make them feel welcome, because that's what we are here at WFR. That's what we do. God, we pray for the upcoming lesson by Mr. Kellett and Mr. Langhofer, and we thank you for them as well. God, we thank you so much for everything you do for us each and every day. Help us to make the most of this Sunday and to take everything and anything that is said up here on this stage by these great men home with us and apply it to everyday life. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this through the greatest blessing that mankind has ever seen, Jesus Christ. It's through him we pray. Amen.